Last week, Peter was teaching us from the book of John that we've just read, and we saw how Jesus was arrested. And before the arrest, when the soldiers first turned up, we saw how Peter, in trying to defend Jesus, brought out his sword and cut off the ears of one of the disciples. What did Jesus do? He picked up the ears and said, Peter, there was no need for that, because Jesus is a man on a mission. He has come that he may die. I was reading through the scriptures and a few other materials. I realized that Jesus was being arrested. Even though he was arrested, he was in control of everything. He was not really a prisoner. He was fulfilling the scripture, and he was fulfilling what the Lord has sent him to come and do. If I just take you back a bit, when just to prove that Jesus has always been in control from the first day that, or the first moment that the soldiers came to take him. Do you remember when they first asked, where is Jesus? Who are you here to arrest? He said, I am. They all fell to the ground. I am, if you remember, was what the Lord God told Moses that he was when he sent Moses to Pharaoh. Moses asked, God, who do I tell them sent me? Say, I am. So that was Jesus in just that little moment, proving that he is God. So even now that he has been taken and he's been arrested, he was taken to Annas, who was the high priest, not really the high priest at the time, because he was actually the high priest before now. But the Romans had come to appoint another high priest, who was Caiaphas, the son-in-law of Annas. But the Jews still recognized Annas as a high priest. That was why they took Jesus to him first. Then, when Annas tried to question Jesus and tried to find out what he has done, of course, they were trying to question Jesus in a wrong way. Jesus, still knowing the law and being in control of everything, asked to say, why are you questioning me? Because in the day of Jesus, the right thing to do was to gather witness and question the witness and not the accused. But they were questioning Jesus. This just goes to show where their hearts are and where their hearts were. They were not after the truth. They were not after justice. They were after killing Jesus. But Jesus must die anyway, because this is all part of the plan. When Annas finished questioning him, they had to pass him over to Caiaphas. And remember that Caiaphas was the high priest that first of all prophesied that Jesus, one man, will have to die for the sins of everyone. Before this time, we know that Jesus was beginning to become very popular. People were actually following Jesus and listening more to him than they were to the high priest and others in the temple. What was really the biggest blow was when Jesus rose Lazarus from the dead. That was an undeniable power that everyone saw and knew that this man will be the Messiah, and he is the Messiah. But that was a big threat to the chief priest and the rest of the people in the temple. The only way they cannot deny that power, the people have seen it. They have to, then that was the first time, for political reasons, Caiaphas prophesied that this man has to die, otherwise we all are in big trouble. Now in verse 14 of the passage we just read, the high priest, which is Caiaphas now, spoke about how Jesus would die. He was speaking better than he knew. Jesus was going to die for the nation in even a bigger way than Caiaphas realized. We will soon see in the rest of the passage how not just will Jesus die for the nation, which is the Israelite, but Jesus will also die for the world. So Caiaphas thought that Jesus would die for the nation's political reason, but in fact, Jesus must die because we all are evil. We read in verse 15 about another disciple. Though this other disciple is never identified, but Bible scholars believe that this disciple would have been John himself, who is the author of this book. John is used to referring to himself, if you read through this gospel, in the third person, like the one that Jesus loves most. So it is most likely that John was this other disciple that was with Jesus when he was taken away. But again, the focus of this whole gospel, like John normally does, is to focus and point the light on Jesus. Like we will see very soon, we've looked about how the soldiers arrested Jesus, how John followed him, and of course Peter was also following Jesus, but from afar. It is not about the soldiers here. It's not about at all John or Peter. It's not even about the high priest or those accusing Jesus. Everything focuses on Jesus is the fact that he must die for our sin. Remember when, again, Peter came to try to stop the disciples from arresting Jesus, what did Jesus say? Are you trying to prevent me from drinking this cup? There is a cup that somebody has to drink. And this is the wrath of God. The wrath that is being poured out upon all men. The Bible says that for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So the wrath of God is upon man. The only way this wrath will go away is for Jesus to die. At this time, Peter was following Jesus, but not closely. He was following Jesus from afar. Because it was very cold, the soldiers and people around outside in the temple, they made a fire out of coal and they were warming themselves. And Peter did join them to warm himself. And this was the first time Peter denied Jesus. Someone kind of recognized him. You are not one of the disciples of Jesus, are you? Peter said, I'm not. If we go to verse 21, we see how Jesus was now still continuing being questioned according to the law. The witness, like I said before, for the defense had to be called first. Jesus should not have been questioned until the witness had testified. So everything they were doing was actually against the law, was illegal. But Jesus knew that, and Jesus asked, ask those who have heard me. Jesus never spoke or preached in the secret. He always spoke in the synagogue. I always spoke in the open. There are lots of witnesses. Ask them. And what did they do? They kept quiet. You know, when you are bound, when someone is bound to do something that is wrong, when you speak the truth, they don't want to hear it. It's really. That was when one of the officers came and struck Jesus. Again, this was illegal. According to the Jewish law, there was no punishment before conviction. And Jesus did challenge him to say, why did you strike me? Because he's still in control. Jesus invited his accusers to present evidence that he had done something wrong. But they wouldn't do that. If we go back to Peter, this time around, Peter was had come into the temple because John, one of the disciples, which we believe might be John, actually knew the chief priest very well. At this time, he went to the lady that kept, like the servant lady that was at the door, and asked Peter to come in. They allowed Peter to come in again. Peter came into the temple and he was still into the courtyard. He was still far from Jesus. He was with the people warming himself. And somebody again recognized Peter. You are one of his disciples. Are you not? Peter denied to say, no, I am not. Now, this is a very touching one because everyone seemed to be denying Jesus, not only his own people, but even the Gentiles. Everyone rejects him. Jesus had to be rejected because he had to die for us. We see this passage is not only about the Jews, about God's people. If we read in the first chapter of the book of John that we are looking at in verse 11, he said he came to his own and his own did not receive him, rejecting him. In the very next passage or where we will read further, we will see also that the world, which is the Gentiles, also rejected him. And this goes to show that all we humans, we all need Jesus to die for us. If you see what's going on here, Jesus, there seemed to be a contrast where Jesus was being tried by the high priest. Also, Peter was being tried by the servant. But Jesus was faithful, but Peter denies. Even as followers, we need Jesus to die for us. Peter is what we are all like. Peter is what I am like. Even as Jesus followers, we all need Jesus. Don't forget that Peter actually is a man full of zeal for the Lord. He wants to do what is right for the Lord. And again, when you see what Peter did, I just referred back to that. It's not about Peter. It's always about Jesus. He brought out his sword to cut one of the ears of the soldiers. Did you know that actually it was a detachment of the soldiers that was sent to arrest Jesus? A detachment is like a tenth of the cohort then, which is like 600 soldiers. So for Peter to come forth before 600 soldiers, he was really zealous. He wanted to defend Jesus because he had previously said that he will not defy or deny Jesus, even when Jesus said that everyone will desert him. But again, Peter, with all his strength, with all his zeal, at this time, could not really do what he thinks he can do. He denied Jesus. He realized how weak he is. I don't know where you have been struggling and you feel you can do the right thing. Just like Peter, he could not really do this on his own. There's no way he can really please God or do God's work without Jesus dying for him. We will see later, maybe in the book of Acts, say in 50 days' time after Jesus had died, this same Peter who cannot even stand before a servant to declare that, yes, I am one of these disciples. This same Peter, when Jesus had died, will be filled and will have boldness. Peter could never have done this because he needs Jesus to die for him. He was full of himself. We've been full of ourselves. There is not much we can do for God. We need Jesus to die for us and for him to fill us. If we look again at verse 27, for the third time Peter denied the Lord, as Jesus said he would. In the upper room, Peter had boasted that he would remain true to the Lord to the end. You see, in the garden, he surrendered to the desire of his body by sleeping and sleeping three times when the Lord had commanded the disciple to stay up in prayer. Now he submitted to the pressure of the world and denied the Lord three times. Peter needed to know that his power alone is not enough. His zeal enough is not enough. Peter, full of himself minus Jesus, is a failure. He needs Jesus to die for him. The world needs Jesus to die. The Gentiles, the disciples, we all just needed Jesus to die for us. The fact that they would not accuse Jesus in public, they wouldn't want to accuse him because there would be great testimonies to counter whatever accuses they are putting on Jesus. The fact that they will not even do that really shows where their hearts were. We all need Jesus to die for us. Jesus is the Messiah, and this is why he has come. He's come to die, that we may have life and have it more in abundance.